earth, sky.
The degradation of this oil and gas that's being injected into the middle of the Gulf of Mexico is going to cause the oxygen depletion in the water. There's just no way around it.
You're listening to Mandy Joy, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Joy is an oceanographer with the University of Georgia. In early June of 2010, she returned from a two-week scientific expedition in the Gulf of Mexico following the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. She spoke with Earth Sky's Beth Lebwohl about the oil plumes, or clouds, far beneath the surface of the Gulf.
So first I need to ask, what exactly are oil plumes, and do they exist in the deeper water of the Gulf of Mexico?
Plumes or clouds or mist, it really describes the same phenomenon, and that is that some of the oil that's coming out of the well isn't rising to the surface because it's being expelled from the well at such a high pressure and high speed that it's basically dispersing into small particles, and those small particles float in the deep water. And the concentrations of oil in the deep water are not nearly those that you see in these surface slicks. It's very dilute solution of oil. It's also, there's a lot of methane gas dissolved in these plumes, and that also is derived from the leaking wellhead.
Why are the plumes such a big deal? What's the significance or impact of an oil plume versus, say, oil from the spill spreading on the surface of the ocean? Because you're saying it's just so dilute, so why worry?
You've got high concentrations of two types of substances, oil and methane and other gases, that are easily utilized by microorganisms that live in the water. So the microorganisms that live naturally in this water are going to consume the oil, and they're going to consume the methane and other gases. And when they consume those gases, they use oxygen.
Which microorganisms are we talking about, by the way?
Just bacteria.
Okay.
Basically, they're bacteria and very small organisms that are naturally present in the water, and they're very efficient at consuming, you know, low concentrations of oil and gas. And right now they've got lots of gas, lots of methane that they can consume. But in the process of consuming that methane, they also consume oxygen.
As they gobble up methane, they're also gobbling up oxygen?
Exactly. And the reason that's a problem is that there's enough methane in the water right now that if all of it's consumed microbially, then it'll consume all the oxygen that's in the water. So then you could potentially have large volumes of water floating around in the deep part of the Gulf of Mexico that don't contain any oxygen. And if there's no oxygen, any organism that needs oxygen, like fish aren't going to be able to survive if the water goes anoxic. Zooplankton wouldn't be able to survive if the water, so what the fish eat, zooplankton. And the thing about the water column of the Gulf of Mexico is it's all connected. You know, there are connectivities in the food web between the deep water, the mid water, and the surface water. So when you start altering the food web of the deep water, which is where the plumes are, then you're going to cascade. You're going to have an effect on the mid water and ultimately the surface water.
All this bacteria, they're like, wow, we've got breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They're having a blast. They're eating all the stuff. But unintentionally, they are sapping the water dry, so to speak, of oxygen. Is that what's happening?
That's precisely the issue. And the other problem is that there's so much gas in particular in the water right now that there's probably more gas in the water than there is oxygen in that same water to consume it all, which means that these gas clouds and oil clouds are going to expand and spread because there's not enough oxygen in the water to consume all the gas in the given location that it's in. If you just, you know, took like a liter of water, there's more methane in that liter of water than there is oxygen to consume that methane.
Okay, now forgive me because I'm being, you know, I'm really grilling you here, but doesn't this lend credence to, you know, the perspective of some people who are saying, well, this oil spill really isn't a big deal because you see nature is just taking care of it itself?
No, I don't agree with that because you know, we're not talking about a small amount of oil and gas here. We're talking about millions of gallons of oil. And probably for every gallon of oil that's released from this well, at least an equal volume of gas and probably more gas is coming into the system. This is just an unprecedented overburden of the system in terms of carbon input. Yes, the microbial community is going to break this material down, but it doesn't come for free. it comes at the expense of the oxygen budget of the system. And that's not something that is very easily corrected, because how do you get oxygen into a system? Photosynthesis. Photosynthesis happens in the upper, 100 meters or so of the water column. This injection of oil and gas is happening throughout the water column, and the consumption of oxygen is happening throughout the water column. It's not just in these plumes where you have high rates of activity, but the whole water column is being stimulated by the oil and gas coming from the spill. So in my mind, it's a big problem, because it's a huge area that we're talking about.
Let's do talk about the scope. How big are the plumes you found? How did you find them, and exactly where are they?
The feature that we measured is a minimum of 10 miles long and a minimum of 2.5 miles wide. So this is a tremendously large body of water. This plume that we were working on in the southwest side of the leaking well is about half the size of the plume that David Hollander and his group from South Florida found on the northeast side of the leaking well. So this is a very large body of water that's being impacted by these deep water plumes.
Let's say, armed with all this knowledge about methane and oil plumes and all this stuff, how does that help us actually cope with the spill? With what do we do with that information once we have it?
So suppose that microbial degradation of methane is limited by something like nitrogen. If we know that it's limited by nitrogen, then maybe we can add some nitrogen and stimulate microbial degradation of methane, or oil for that matter. So understanding how the microbial processes are regulated could potentially help us bioremediate this problem a little bit. The other issue is, if we know how much oil and gas are coming into the system from the leaking well, if we get really robust estimates of the oil leak rate and the gas leak rate, then we can begin to make some calculations of what are the worst case scenarios. What are the how much oxygen drawdown could we have resulting from this, and how big of a scale are we talking about? In terms of fixing it and making it better, this is not going to be fixed, and it's not really going to be made better. What we're dealing with is trying to evaluate the magnitude of the disturbance and figure out how the system's going to respond and on what time scale. And I think those are important things that need to be done. But right now, I think the efforts in terms of the microbiology and biogeochemistry, we're still in the assessment phase. We don't even understand what the impacts are at this point, at least not in the open ocean.
You've been listening to Dr. Mandy Joy, an oceanographer with the University of Georgia. She's been working with the National Science Foundation on emergency analysis of the Gulf oil spill. She's also testified before a U.S. congressional committee about the Gulf oil spill in June of 2010. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.